There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Co-host TJ Inman will be along with us shortly. We have a lot to talk about. Indiana's big win at Nebraska, 38-31. Bowl eligibility. And the first night game ever in November in the history of Memorial Stadium coming up against Northwestern. But first, we have a word from our partners at MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. So, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate this offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. We welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, happy Monday to you. A celebratory Monday here in Hoosierland. How are you feeling after that thriller in Lincoln on Saturday?
Definitely still exhilarated thinking about it. I know a lot of IU fans just kind of soaking in all the coverage, all the content, and it's really been a pleasure to cover this team so far this season and be along for this ride in this tiny way. And I know that like Wat Fillier was asked today, and I thought it was very telling and very cool. He was asked, what's it like being a part of a team that striving to win 7 or 8 games or something like that along those lines. And Wat Fillier just very serious. His only response was, "You mean 10? I think it was very telling that, look, IU fans are rightfully rejoicing, and I hope that the players enjoyed it as well and the coaches enjoyed, what it means to go and win at Nebraska and what it means to get that 6th victory and that reward. But I do think that this Indiana team, they're not done. We as fans, we can soak it up and talk about what's this mean for the rest of the season, what's this mean for bowl destinations, all that stuff. But it really does seem like so far the Indiana players are doing what's required, and that's focusing on Northwestern, which is the next task at hand, and getting that next win to keep building.
Yeah, it was a very big win, and when I talked to players before the Nebraska team, people asked, you're going for your 6th win. How many more wins can you get after 5? And I think it was Marcelino Ball, and his answer was as many as we can. We have how many 5 games left? We're trying to win 5 more games. I think that's the attitude that this Indiana football team has taken. Now it's our jobs to try and, predict where, the next coming up games and going to Penn State and playing Michigan at home are going to be difficult. And you have Northwestern coming in this weekend, which should be a good matchup for IU. And then, of course, you got to go to West Lafayette to play Purdue in the bucket game, which, a rivalry game, all bets are off. They might be healthy and have their squad ready to go in the last week of the season. But from the beginning of the season, Tom Allen has preached this one game at a time attitude. And I think it's really, really paying off. This week it's Northwestern. Last week it was Nebraska and things like that. So this 1-0, we want to be 1-0 this week mentality is paying off. They've flushed bad performances against Ohio State, even though Ohio State is doing that to everybody. You know, and then they don't look back at Michigan State as a missed opportunity yet either. And Michigan State's kind of falling apart down the stretch here, and we'll see how that situation unfolds. But that was a game, as a fan, you look back, you go, oh, man, if we got a hand on a ball here or there, you know, maybe we're talking about a 7-1 Indiana team instead of a 6-2 Indiana team. But they flushed those things. You're going into Northwestern at 6-2. I thought that win at Nebraska was just tremendous. You went in there. Yes, Peyton Ramsey has, you know, starting experience. Yes, he's played at the Big House. Yeah, he's gone into Ohio State and battled them. But this was, I thought it was the loudest Big Ten stadium I had been in. I've been as a fan.
The general game day experience, if you could talk about that. You went, covered the game for Hoosier Huddle, first time to Lincoln, and that kind of, not necessarily historic venue, but just historic destination as far as college football tradition is concerned. What were your thoughts and impressions on just the overall experience that getting to go cover an Indiana game that Indiana was able to go in there and win?
Yeah, this is a trip I was super excited about. I've now been to all 14 Big Ten schools. I technically have been to all 14 stadiums except for Minnesota. I went to the stupid Metrodome, but that place has, I think, long been blown up. So I do have to circle back to Minnesota eventually and get to TCF Bank Stadium. But I was excited to go to Lincoln. I was kind of disappointed going around. We came in Friday night. We met up with some IU alumni and had a great time, but there was really nobody around downtown in the Haymarket area. You saw a small pep rally and things like that. So it was kind of weird not seeing the buzz that you see around, you know, Ohio State Friday nights before the game and some other places. But it's understood it's kind of, you know, it's a 4-3 Nebraska team. You know, it's kind of been a disappointing season for them. And you know, walking around the stadium before the game, I went to their Unity Walk, which is their walk from the bus to the stadium, and that was pretty cool. But there was no, you know, fans were just kind of walking in silence. There was no Go Big Red chants to each other. There was no Let's Go Huskers. And this was, you know, I went into the stadium about 2 hours before the game, but you know, just around the stadium is kind of muted. But once they filled that stadium, they had 86,000 or whatever it was, 89,000 at that game. They were loud. And they were loud every time they made a big play, every time their defense needed a stop. And I'm in the radio booth with Don and Buck. And we have the window open, and there are times where Nebraska makes a big play or needs a big play. I sit about two feet away from Fish, and I can't hear him talking. And that's how loud it was. It's probably the loudest Big Ten venue I'd been in. I've been in the stands at Michigan. I've been on the field at Ohio State. But this, to me, this is just a deafening. I don't know if it was the structure of the stadium that just goes straight up and the other ones are a little bit more spread out, or the majority of the crowds in the end zones looking in. It was a really cool stadium to be in. It was really loud. And then after the game, it's quiet again. So it was interesting to see the attitude of Nebraska fans, which – to me, have been like IU basketball fans, where you had this once proud program who was winning national titles. They both had 5 national titles. They were kind of relevant in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, they were very relevant. Nebraska was very relevant in the late 90s. They kind of faded out after 2001, after Miami beat them. But, you know, that began to go downhill when Tom Osborne retired, kind of like, you know, when Bobby Knight was fired at IU. And it's kind of an elitist mentality where you think you deserve to be better than you actually are. And there are things that Nebraska has done. They fired Bo Pelini. They brought in Mike Riley, who really didn't do a good job at all. And talking to some of their fans there, that they Riley, you know, there was no accountability in that program. Guys didn't run or lift or, you know, things like that. And then you bring in Scott Frost, who's supposed to be the answer. And he just, you know, they thought he could wave a magic wand and fix things. But after 4-8 last year, they're sitting at 4-4 this year. They're understandably frustrated, but they also have a long way to go in order to get back to national relevance. And it's I really think leaving the Big 12 really hurt them in terms of program identity. You know, the Big 12, it's a great conference, but the way you win games in the Big 12 is a lot different than you win games and how you have to shape your team in the Big 10. They lost that Texas pipeline. You kind of, you know, and driving to Nebraska, you know, you learn how isolated it is. There's no direct flights to Lincoln. You have to fly to Omaha and drive. It's a very tough recruiting. So you kind of lost that identity leaving the Big 12. I get it, but it was a great atmosphere. The tunnel walk coming out, they played the old Bulls theme. That was cool. The one thing I didn't like was every time an IU guy got hurt, they started booing. And I was just disappointed, especially now that it's learned that Thomas Allen's out for the year. The guy got booed off the field twice, and I think even the second time, maybe they started to clap because they realized, this guy's legitimately hurt. Well, he's out for the year. I was very disappointed in that. These are supposed to be some of the best fans in college football and some of the most respectful fans and polite fans. And every time an IU player went down, now I'm not saying IU didn't flop, but I don't think you didn't see it. Wasn't an egregious, oh, he's standing there like, man, what was it? There was a game last weekend where the guy just like took a dive. And you see it all the time in college football, but I don't think it was that. You had guys who are legitimately banged up and had to get removed and things like that. But, you know, it was a pretty cool atmosphere to go to. And now I'll be gauging the sound of other stadiums to Nebraska and see if, you know, maybe see if I'm correct in that. When I go to Penn State in a couple weeks, I want to see how loud Penn State is as well in terms of that. But what an atmosphere, what a win for IU to go in there, take a 14-point lead, get a big fourth down stop, take the ball and, you know, kind of run it down their throats the last 3.5 minutes, take a knee. And it wasn't a relaxing win, but to end the game on the road against Nebraska in a stadium of 89,000, to be able to take a knee and run out the last minute and 50 seconds, it felt good. And Tom Allen, you know, he was emotional after the game and things like that. And I noticed there are no more Tom Allen's just the high school coach comments right now and things like that. So, you know, he's trusted his process, and his process right now is working. We'll see where it goes and how far he can take them. But right now they're sitting at 6-2. You got Northwestern coming in, and they played a gutty, gritty football game. You know, Peyton Ramsey took a shot to the sternum. Could have been called targeting. Should have been called a late hit. He was definitely hurting the rest of the game. It definitely affected the way he threw the ball. But man, oh man, that kid is tough. He went in there, threw for 351 yards. Yes, this Nebraska defense isn't your grandfather's Nebraska defense or even your father's Nebraska defense. But to go in there without Simon Stepniak, who missed the game with an undisclosed injury that looked like a game-time decision, and mm-hmm. go in there and basically he did whatever he wanted to do was tremendous. And he has been tremendous, and Tom Allen said today, I know fans have been talking about quarterback controversy. Do you start Ramsey over Penix? Allen put the kibosh on that, saying Penix is their starter. Well, he appreciates and loves that Peyton Ramsey has done. Mike's the starter, and if he's not ready to go, Peyton's going to do his thing. So I think the quarterback room is in really good shape in terms of they understand the pecking order, and Peyton Ramsey knows what his role is. His role is, he's the backup guy, but his role is to be ready to go. And to his credit, he didn't sulk. He didn't put his head down. He's focused. He's gotten the game plan down, and he goes out and plays football. He controls what he can control. He can't control what Michael Penix does. Penix is blessed with a left arm that is a cannon. Peyton Ramsey doesn't have that natural ability. What he does have is a heck of a head on his shoulders and the guts of a Marine. And that's what he brings to the table. And so more credit to him. There were still some silly penalties and things like that. But the defense got two huge turnovers. Alfred Bryant made a heck of a play coming back up on a pass to punch the ball out. Jamar Johnson improvised, got the quarterback a strip sack. Alan Stallings should have had a touchdown. But when talking to Jamar Johnson after the game, he's right. He's like, I didn't know how to block the quarterback. I didn't know, he was kind of in that no man's land where, peel back blocks really aren't allowed anymore, especially on the quarterback and things like that, where they called Juwan Burgess for roughing a hit after the play.
Yeah.
That was kind of, I get why they threw the flag. But the guy kept running, and he was barely out of bounds. So you can't blame Burgess for that, because God forbid they don't call him out of bounds. He runs for a touchdown, and we all know the competency of Big Ten referees. That would have stood, and that's a big play. So that was the answer I was looking for. Not, oh, I thought, he did think Alan Stallings had the touchdown, but not, oh, I just pulled up. It was in really – know what to do, because fans would be all over him if he blocks that guy in the back. You have to bring it all the way back. So, there's no harm, no foul. I thought that was a really intelligent, mature answer, and it was just a heck of a win in Lincoln. What were your thoughts? I've been vamping for 18 minutes now, so go ahead with your thoughts, TJ.
I mean, I just in general, I know – well, we can't say this for a fact, but I think it is. We have ample evidence to suggest that previous Indiana teams, even as recently as last season, if they fall behind 14-3 at a place like Nebraska with the atmosphere that they were facing, I think it is fair to say that they fold up shop and just, say, well, we got Northwestern in their heads, think we got Northwestern. Next week, we'll go at it again next week. Here we go. Indiana this year, not only did they not fold up shop, they battled back, managed to score on a much, much needed. I mean, that I think that the game really became a football game as opposed to a Nebraska clinic and a kind of a rejuvenating Saturday for them. But Indiana took the ball down 14-3. Marched down the field and scored. Yes, I know that they missed the extra point, but still, it let Nebraska know, no, you're not just going to run over us just because we're Indiana. We're going to fight today.
And previous Indiana teams probably get rattled that your kicker who hasn't missed a kick all year.
Sure. Yeah.
Let one go wide left, and that wind was brutal on Saturday, TJ.
Yeah, it definitely looked like you could tell on kickoffs that the guys were having to be very careful. And I do want to give a credit to Indiana's kickoff unit because they didn't have any mistakes with that win. They were able to. I don't know if they had a touchback every time, but it was a very, very good day kicking off the ball for Smoller. Credit to him. That's going to go unnoticed, but he dealt with some very fierce wind and got that done. And Logan Justice, you know, had that one mix-up, but had a nice day otherwise. And you know, Ramsey, I think, has improved so much in his decision-making. He made one poor decision where he threw a ball in close proximity that he shouldn't have. He put a little bit behind the receiver, and I think it was Walker that he was trying to get into. You know, it got picked off. Other than that one decision, Ramsey made really no errors as far as decision making goes, and that was has been incredibly impressive in his play this season. And I think a lot of growth that credit to him, credit to Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan and whoever else has worked on that with him, because he really has improved a lot in that regard. I thought Indiana had a tough time with the change at quarterback as Luke McCaffrey came in. Really hurt IU with his legs. And Wandale Robinson playing makes a huge difference for Nebraska's offense. He really is their one difference maker on
he's
offense.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's kind of their one difference maker
really,
on offense.
He's really, really good.
And we knew that going in. We knew that if he plays, it makes a huge difference. And he was able to go, and I thought looked pretty healthy and looked very dangerous with the ball. And I think Indiana did a pretty nice job on him, really, preventing him from having any huge plays. You know, he had success, but there weren't any gigantic explosive plays from him. So credit to IU's defense there. And like you said, they are doing enough on the defensive side of the ball, making those takeaways, getting stops, just enough, and letting the offense, which, you know, don't look now, but the Hoosiers right now appear darn near automatic to get the 30 points regardless of who the quarterback is. And if they can, you know, the defense just has to keep that in mind. Look, play aggressive, bring that pressure, force those couple of takeaways, and trust the offense to be able to do enough to get you the win. And that's what IU's doing. It was an exhilarating performance for Indiana. It's definitely not perfect, but, you know, I do want to point out, if you have not watched Tom Allen's post-game press conference, you know, I think you should. It was about 12 minutes, and it really showed, not that we haven't seen this before, but I thought Tom Allen gave very insightful answers into why this victory was so important, into what it means for him and for this team. And then as we put up an article today, you know, he basically made a plea to the fans as to why this team deserves and has earned your support this coming Saturday. And I just thought it was a very passionate press conference from Tom Allen that shows to me why so many Indiana fans that have really followed this program are so behind this guy and really want to see success like we've seen this year with him at the helm. You know, I'll put on a fan hat for a little bit here and say that I'm proud he's Indiana's head football coach. I think he represents the university in the best way possible.
Yeah, he's done a tremendous job. And, you know, people will criticize how he was hired, which is fair. It was
sure.
a crazy time in IU football and how he was hired. But I think Fred Glass knew that Tom Allen was kind of the right guy for it. Yeah, it was a very risky move. You're taking a guy who has been a defensive coordinator in the Big Ten for a year. He was defensive coordinator at USF. And people will say that he was only a head coach in high school. Well, guess what? Kevin Wilson, his only head coaching experience was at high school, and his team went winless. So that's – everybody has to start somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I think Fred Glass kind of knew what he had in Tom Allen, rolled the dice, and – it's taken a couple years, and you could see the steps, the evolution of Tom Allen from year one, two, to three. And yeah, it's learning on the run. But that is, and I don't want to say it's a luxury at Indiana, but that's the luxury that they had is, okay, you know, we're not blowing this whole thing up like we're a 10-win team and building from scratch. We've got a little bit of a foundation built. Let's see what we could do if this guy can evolve into the coach we think he could do. And that's the chances that IU has to take. Now, yep. There's been talk about extensions, and I believe Tom Allen earned a $200,000 bonus for winning this game, and I think every win on out is another $100,000 for him. So
good for
his
him.
Lowest paid – yeah, it's great for him. The lowest paid coach stuff is – should stop, but I'd rather underpay for wins than overpay for wins right now. And you know, people talking about extensions, it's too early. Don't. He's got, I believe, 3 years left on his contract, including this year. I think including next year. So 17, 18, 19. He's got 3 years left. You don't have to force it. You can hold your cards a little bit and see what he does next year, and then
I
work out a deal.
Be,
Tom, nobody.
Yeah, I think
Tom
be
Allen wants
to
be at IU. Yes, Tom Allen wants to be at IU. He's not leaving for a program that's, especially with the success he's having now, he's not leaving for a program that's similar. Now, if Ohio State came and said, "Hey, Tom Allen, you want to be head coach?" I'm sure he's probably going to leave, but. That's not going to happen. You know, these blue blood programs are not going to come in and try and poach Tom out. You're right, TJ. You got to keep these assistants. You got to keep Mike Hart. Somebody's going to come after Kalen DeBoer. Indiana's got the top pass offense in the conference. If you combine the numbers, the top pass offense in the conference. And look, if Kalen DeBoer gets a head coaching offer, yeah, you can't really compete with that. But you got to keep the staff intact, maybe increase the pool on there. If you want to Tom Allen's bonus structure, you're paying the guy for wins. If you want to take a look after next year and say, hey, we've got 2 years left on this deal, let's rework it, add a couple years for recruiting.
Sure.
But, you know, at the first sign of success, you just can't throw, and he did this with Wilson, and it came back to bite him. You just can't throw
and Tom Crean.
Contract success. And Tom Crean. You just can't throw a reactionary contract extension. Look, Fred Glass has a legal background. He's a lawyer. He's smart. He should know what he's doing, but you just can't be reactionary and say, hey, let's give him a contract now that he has 6 wins. You know, let's pump the brakes, see what he does, and when he needs a new contract, you go give him a new contract. So, Tom Allen deserves a lot of credit, and it's not a knock on Tom Allen to not extend him. It's just be patient with it. It's going to work itself out. He has a great bonus structure. He's going to get paid. And they're not hurting for money, but it'll take care of itself. All right, enough with that. Let's get on to Northwestern, TJ. The Northwestern Wildcats come in at 1-6. They are ranked 130th in, is it points scored? They're in the bottom, whatever, 1% in, I think, every major offensive category. Which, if their offense could have done anything this year, their defense is pretty good, and they should be better than 1-6. So,
yeah,
total offense, they're 14th in the Big Ten. If you want to go nationally, they are 129th in total offense. Only Old Dominion is worse, and Old Dominion has played in 8 games. If you want to go passing offense, they're 125th, but down in the passing offense, you have Wyoming, who's thrown 138 passes. Air Force, Navy, Army, and Georgia Southern. So they're the worst passing offense that has actually throws the ball. And then rushing offense, they're not bad. I think they're 93. They have a decent run game. And then in scoring offense, they're dead last.
Yep.
They're at 130 at 10.7 points per game. This is an offense that Indiana's defense needs to have a big day against.
Yep. Drake Anderson is a Isaiah Bowser was expected to be their running back, and after a really good season last year for him, it's been a disappointment for sure. Drake Anderson is kind of the guy that has taken over for them as their first running back. I think the biggest issues for them, the two of them, their offensive line has been very poor, both run blocking and especially pass blocking, very little time for either quarterback, whether it's Aiden Smith or Hunter Johnson. Unclear who's going to be playing on Saturday. It seems like they're going to stick with Aiden Smith, but I don't entirely know why, to be honest, because there's not any success being had, but Hunter Johnson wasn't having any either. Both guys under 50% completion percentage and an average completion of just right around 4 yards, which is dreadful. The second biggest issue for them, just a complete lack of weapons at the receiver position. They've had some recruiting misses at receiver, some development misses at receiver. You're used to having those guys that kind of undersized but are able to, you know, beat you with their quickness and hands. They don't have that this year. Riley Lees is their best receiver, if you want to say that. And, I'll say this. If Riley Lees is playing in Indiana, he probably sees the field, but he is well behind Indiana's top four options. He's well behind Billier, Freifogel, Westbrook, or Hale. They don't have any tight end that scares you like Hendershot does. As far as skill positions go, Indiana is vastly superior to Northwestern. Now, their defense, very good, particularly at linebacker. Patty Fisher, really, really good player. They've got a really good linebacking core. Just a very solid defense. It's not going to give up a lot of big plays. They're going to force you to go on long drives and then try and shut you down in the red zone and get some takeaways. That's been their formula. It is a small margin for error formula. And when your offense just completely goes in the tank, it really doesn't matter how much your defense does because they're going to wear down. They're going to get demoralized. And I'm sure they go into games feeling like, look, if we give up 20 points, we're done. We're done. We're not going to win. And that has to be a really deflating feeling for your defense that pretty much no matter what they do, they're probably not going to do enough to get a win. So I think for me, Indiana, a couple of keys would be take care of the ball. Don't give Northwestern's offense short fields. Don't help them on offense. You know, they're in a bad way on that side of the ball. Don't help them. Don't give them any feeling of momentum by giving them short fields through special teams or through penalties or especially through turnovers. And then for me, the second key is going to be obviously playing against expectations. You know, this will be the first time for a lot of Indiana players that they're going to hear all week on campus how great they are. Battling that is going to be difficult because inevitably, it is human nature. You're going to really feel like, hey, we've accomplished something. And they have. They have accomplished something. But it's going to be getting past that feeling to drive for more. It's something that applies to all areas of life. And today we're talking about football, so it applies to that. For this season for Indiana, and that's going to be a big one for the players. Hopefully, it's a great atmosphere. Hopefully, that the crowd does respond and shows up to support these guys. If that happens, hopefully the Hoosiers can go out there and battle through the expectations, that feeling of complacency and of success, and strive for more. because this is a spot that none of these guys have been in before in an IU uniform, and a lot of us as fans have not been here before either. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Hoosiers respond. I will say that as far as opponents go, this is a pretty good one to be playing in this spot, because I've watched a lot of Northwestern this season, and I just don't see the offensive firepower to give IU a whole lot of problems. And I feel like if Indiana's offense shows up and takes care of the ball, I think they'll run away with this one.
Yeah, it's one of these games where I have a lot of respect for Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald.
Absolutely.
But it's one of these years where nothing has gone their way.
No.
And it stinks to them. Northwestern, it was a great story. They won the West last year. They always play hard. They somehow find these talented guys to bring to Northwestern, and sometimes you roll craps, and sometimes you don't. So, they're going to come in and be well coached. You know what Northwestern's all about, but you're right. This offense, if Indiana's offense takes care of the ball, cashes in on their opportunities like they did against Nebraska, where they were 6-for-6 in the red zone with 5 touchdowns, Indiana should have a pretty decent time of handling this team. Now, look, if the offense turns the ball over and gives Northwestern, and the defense makes some silly mistakes, then, yeah, Northwestern is going to be right there. They're hungry for a win. They don't want to go 1-11 or 2-10 this year. They want to go out and win some Big Ten games. This team had won 16 straight Big Ten games coming into the year, I believe. And a lot
Which
of
is
the mind-boggling. Guys, yeah, you thought that, hey, yeah, they lost Clayton Thorson and they lost some other guys, but this defense is pretty intact, and you brought in Hunter Johnson, who's a former 5-star recruit, and they just haven't performed. And, maybe it's just one of those years for Northwestern where you just slog through it and get to the end of the year and thank God the year's over. Because, we've had those years at IU too. So
yep.
We'll see. What is your matchup to watch, TJ?
I'm going to go with Indiana's passing game against Northwestern's secondary and linebackers. I think that is the strength for the Wildcats. It's just that personnel grouping. I think they're really disciplined, really solid. Like I said, don't give up a lot of explosive plays. They really make you work down the field. So I think Indiana's going to have to be disciplined in doing so, and not trying to, because Northwestern is going to try to slow this game down, constrict Indiana's possessions, shrink this game to be one that really gives them a better chance to win. It's absolutely the formula they should use. Indiana cannot force it. They can't get frustrated by that. They've got to take what's there and what's presented to them and just work their way down the field. And look, if a big play opportunity is there, you connect on it and hopefully convert it. But don't get frustrated if it turns into a bit of a grinder. Just embrace that. Be better at Northwestern. Be better than Northwestern at that style of game, which I think Indiana absolutely can do. So I'm going to go with that. I think Indiana's receivers, by and large, have been playing really well, and I'm excited to see that continue. Watt Fillier is having an all-Big Ten type season, and Saturday is another chance for him to do so. And I thought Freifogel had himself a very nice game when he was given opportunities. So it's kind of been it's been Fillier really all season. And then, it seems like there's been one other guy, whether it's Hendershot, Freifogel, Hale, that one other guy has stepped up to help Fillier in each game, and it's kind of been a different guy to go with that constant that has been WAP.
Yeah, definitely. My matchup to watch, TJ, I'm going to go off the field this time. And you talked about it a little bit ago, is Indiana versus how they handle success. Everybody is blowing smoke up their butts this week. you know, you're bowl eligible.
Us included.
Could be, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You're bowl eligible.
Yep.
There could be 8, 9, 10 wins on the table. They're telling you how awesome they were at Nebraska. How do you handle that success? Do you kind of rest on your laurels, or do you come out? And I think Tom Allen's done a good job of making it a one-game season. Do you come out with some fire, first night game at Memorial Stadium in November in history, and hopefully in front of a big crowd? And do you just have a massive celebration? Do you go out, be aggressive, play hard, and go celebrate with your home fans? Because guess what else is on the table this week, TJ? If they win this week, that clinches a winning record for IU.
Yep.
For the first time since 2007. So there's still,
yep,
mile markers to hit along this way before this season ends. And that's when Tom Allen, when he, at Big Ten Media Days a couple years ago, listed numbers on the board. It was 10, 25, and 50. It had been 10 years. It had been 10 years since they had a winning season, 25 years since they won a bowl game, and 50 years since they went to the Rose Bowl and won the conference. So you could check off one of those marks this weekend with a win. You know, I think they're going to have him, they're going to have the team fired up to do that. But the crowd's got to show up. It's,
yep,
a night game. You have plenty of time. The only excuse that people have, and it's a weak excuse, is that it's going to be cold. It is going to be clear. It's going to be dry. The high is at 47. The low is 22. It is going to be cold. So bundle up. Get your tickets. You know the weather report. It's not going to be like Penn State last year, which was a gorgeous day. And then all of a sudden the winds blew in and it turned freezing and things like that. You know the weather report. You have plenty of time during the day to have some beverages to warm you up. It should be, and they're dedicating the statue to George Taliaferro outside the south end zone before the game. So, you know, it should be a big day for Indiana football to come home in front of a big crowd. I've been trying to track the ticket sales through their app, and it looks like tickets are selling. They have some great deals going on, as you pointed out, TJ. But to me, it's how do you handle success? Do you come out kind of flat after a big win at Nebraska and let Northwestern hang on, or do you do, you know, what you did to Eastern Illinois and Connecticut and just put them out of their misery early and go on from there? So we'll see. We'll see if Michael Penix plays. It's a game time decision again. We'll see if Simon Stepniak, whatever was bothering him, he's supposed to be fine for this week. And, you know, if you have a full, healthy Hoosier team, now Thomas Allen is out for the year, but if you have a healthy IU team, it should help, and then you get an open week to get even healthier before you finish the final quarter of the season with Michigan, you know, with Penn State, Michigan, and Purdue. So what are your keys to victory on Saturday, TJ?
I think we touched on them. You know, protect the ball, convert on your chances when you get into the red zone. Don't let Northwestern's offense gain any momentum. And then, you know, show up to play. IU versus expectations, IU versus success, whatever, however you want to phrase that, but show up to play. You know, since we're short on time here, my prediction, I do think it's going to be kind of a frustrating game as things get going, but I think Indiana does pull away. I think it's a 31-13 win over Northwestern that they'll end up being fairly comfortable by the second half.
Yeah, you know, taking care of the ball. I think cutting out the silly penalties that get teams back into the game. You know, the WAP penalty for taunting, the 30 yards of penalties at the end of the game. And then gaining confidence on defense, getting the secondary, who we've had all these expectations for coming into the year, to play well. These safeties need to play well in order for this defense to work, and they're not playing that well. You know, it's been a tough year for the safeties. So I think getting the safety play right, getting some confidence on defense, staying away from those silly penalties that keep bad teams in games and things like that. Indiana is the better team here. They have to play like it. And cashing in, all those things, those are what good teams do over bad teams. And so it's going to come down to that. Special teams could play a role. I thought it played a huge role on Saturday. Indiana won the average starting field position by 15 yards at Nebraska. Hayden Whitehead was phenomenal in that game. I think he pinned Nebraska inside the 10 three times. It was inside the 20 three times, but I think he got it inside the 10 three times as well. So that's going to be huge. And then just playing with emotion and playing with that desire that, hey, we're not done yet. A lot of people are going to pat you on the back this week, us included. Hey, bowl eligible for the first time in October since 93, but job's not done yet, and I think they know that. So my prediction, TJ, it's going to be cold, which I think makes throwing the football a little bit difficult. Ball gets slick, things like that. Northwestern probably wants to take the air out of the ball as well. Keep it out of the hands of the offense. I'm going to go Indiana 28, Northwestern 10. It's just going to be one of those low possession games where you have to take advantage of your opportunities. But Indiana should win this one. Pretty comfortably. If they get a late field goal, I could see 31-10. Keep that 30-point streak alive. But I'm going to go 28-10, which is a solid victory, especially in the cold, over Northwestern team who's had IU's number over the last decade or so. So that's my prediction. TJ, any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, just like I opened the show with, we're having a really fun season. We're enjoying covering this particular team, and definitely looking forward to Saturday where they hopefully can continue this nice run, extend it to a 4-game Big Ten winning streak, and go into the bye week at 7-2. It'd be really impressive, and I think that this team has earned the fan support, and I hope that we see that on Saturday with the great atmosphere.
Yep. Well, that does it for tonight's podcast. TJ, thank you for joining us. Everybody, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com all week. We have a ton of content coming out. Players and coaches gave great quotes this week. That's something, TJ, I've noticed over the last couple weeks, is that the quotes from Allen and the players have been a lot better than some of these canned quotes we've got in the past with coach speak. So we enjoy that. We'll bring you all the content you need to cover this game. And Indiana kicks off against Northwestern at 7 o'clock. The game is on Fox Sports 1. It is at Memorial Stadium. Parking lots open at 11 a.m. All right. Thank you, TJ, for joining us, and we'll talk next Monday.
Thank you, everybody. Have a nice week.
All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. Thank you to TJ Inman for joining me. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us at Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter as well. Enjoy the rest of your week. Stay warm and have a happy and safe Halloween.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.